Good evening.
Yeah, I'm gonna do like, hi, how's it going?
Yeah, that works.
Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, how's it going? Welcome to our podcast. Oh God, what's next? Welcome to the podcast from esofist.com and isotopecomics.com. This week we're reviewing Castle Waiting by Linda Medley. We're reviewing Bumper Boy and the Loud, Loud Mountain by Debbie Huey, a Bay Area artist. And we're reviewing Polly and the Pirates by Ted Naifa. With me tonight are James, he's going to be producing the podcast, and Daniel, who will be arguing drunkenly and possibly hurting himself. All right, first book we're doing is Castle Waiting by Linda Medley. This was a book that was originally published about 10 years ago, and it was self-published in installments since then. Linda couldn't really find a publisher, and the sales were kind of weak, but now it looks like she's been picked up by somebody permanent, so she's going to start releasing more editions of her book. Daniel's not a huge fan of this one. I like the universe that it's set in. I think it's fun. It's like a fairy tale, sort of Renaissance, Middle Ages sort of thing. Castles and monsters and strange creatures and fairy things.
Fairy things? I don't think there are fairies in this. Are there fairies?
There are. There's little house creatures that...
That's not a fairy. That's a sort of...
Strange. Well, there's house creatures.
That's a head with hooves.
There's a head with hooves.
A head with hooves.
We're both kind of disturbed by that. Literally, it's just a head with hooves coming out of it, and it hops around.
A nun that wears a hat with dog ears or goat ears or something.
There's a horny nun.
She's also horny.
I don't know what you could dislike about a book that has a horny nun in it.
The drawings are really bad. My first attraction to most comics, this is pathetic and very vain. Is definitely the artwork. And this artwork does not do it for me. The main character, not, I don't know, he's not the main character. I don't know if he's the main character. I don't care who he is. He bothers me the most. He's a horse, but he's a man. He's a horseman, but he's not a horseman. He doesn't ride a horse. He is a horse. And,
he's like Mr. Ed, only with a body.
He is just...
And like what a body.
He is, yes, and what a body. It is incredibly disturbing.
There's been loving attention focused on rendering this man's muscles, this horse's muscle. I don't know what he is. He's a minotaur.
Well,
only he's a horse.
Yeah, I mean he's got the he's got hooves. He has a horse head. He has
he's got a
human anatomy.
Yeah. He's got a nipple that's like the size of an ear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. that is the one thing I enjoy about him. I don't know. The drawings are fairly inconsistent, which bothers me. The characters look like different characters from each panel. I mean, I guess you get the gist, but they seem, I don't know, they seem slightly unprofessional. I don't know. I'm being really snobby here. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't understand the story. I'll also say that I didn't exactly read this entirely.
Well, let me sum it up. Lady moves to town. She's going to live in a castle. She's being shown around the castle. And there's some supporting characters like a horny nun and a horse who needs new shoes. And then there's a simple Simon sort of guy. And there's a stork with a disturbing head that looks kind of
so
phallic.
Tell me this. So why is the main character... Keep calling him the main character. I don't know what he is. Why is this guy a horse? Why is he a horse that talks? Why is he walking on two legs?
You're really fixated on the horse.
I
demand an explanation. I mean, it's a fairy tale. Why shouldn't there just be like a walking horse creature? So what I know, because I've read about this series on Wikipedia, is that all these characters, eventually you find out that they're connected to traditional fairy tales. So there's like Simple Simon and Sleeping Beauty is somehow involved, and all these like things are kind of a pastiche from other fairy tales.
And this is legal.
Yeah, it's nobody copyrighted Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, I don't know. Sure.
Maybe they did. Who knows? Yeah, Disney. We're going to be getting a cease and desist from DC.
Disney.
From Disney, right. Don't say superhero, then we'll get in trouble.
No, is it superhero?
You just said it.
You did too.
Oh, damn. So yeah, it's the, so it's like the beginning.
What do you like about this thing?
It's a fun universe. I think it's a fun universe. Here, there's all these monsters and creatures and weird things. All
right. Well, okay.
But nobody does anything. And you're right. Okay. It's boring. Nothing happened in the first one.
Okay, so you like the concept, the story is bad.
Yes, that's right. Precisely it. Here's what it reminds me of. It's like when I'm really going to insult myself by talking about this, but it's like at the beginning of a role-playing game when the dungeon master is setting the scene and explaining the rules of the universe.
Oh, yes, and then you get really excited about it for whatever reason.
And I get really excited about it because I can't wait to role-play as the muscular horse. And that's what it's like. It's like you're setting
up... We've got a duck here in some sort of... leather dominatrix.
Yeah, that's a little weird, isn't it?
This is bizarre.
It's like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction, only he's a duck.
Yeah, we've got some Aztec creatures here. I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem. I mean, the scene we enacted.
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 No, we're switching vowels. Enacted with an E.
Yes,
you said enacted with an I. We made it inactive.
I said
the scene enacted. We enacted.
Enacted.
The scene we enacted.
That's what I said with an E. That's what I meant. I can spell it for you.
Well, your point
you rather,
is.
Would you rather me spell it?
Your point
you
is well taken.
I didn't get to a point.
That's
so the
how
scene
well
we
made
enacted. 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 Really didn't. I mean, there was nothing that happened. I don't know. I think you've got mail or something. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing happens. And that's pretty much all there is to say. But
nothing happened.
I have it on good authority that something happens later on. So we'll keep you apprised.
Later on in another
book. There's like 10 books or something.
Mm.
And this is only the first chapter. So skim through the first one.
Don't waste your time.
With the first one, yes. Don't waste your time. Good advice. All right, let's move on. It should probably also be mentioned that God makes an appearance in this in the form of some kind of creature that looks between the...
It's
a cross between Joe Camel and Simba.
not Simba, Mufasa.
Mufasa. Yeah, oh, Mufasa's yes, because father. They look so different.
They do. They're much older. Mufasa's much older.
Give me some, yes, Daniel, artist, Disney artist Daniel's about to talk. So, God is sitting there with, he's got wings, only he's a camel, lion, and he looks directly at the sun, and then this little impy demon who, at one point, looks kind of like Harry, what's the name of the guy with the big nose, his name's Harry, ah-cha-cha-cha was his catchphrase.
Jimmy Durante.
Harry Jimmy Durante. We called him that back in the old days.
Oh my!
He looks like Jimmy Durante in one shot, but only one.
Well, so clearly, my first
or Dudley Moore.
My first assumption was that clearly, this Joe God Camel. He looks like he reminds me of Chronicles of Narnia. He reminds me of Aslan. It looks like a total ripoff. I guess that's okay. I don't know. So is this whole story a God story? Is that the deal? Is it religious? I mean, is that the whole point of the series?
Well, it's hard to say. There's a nun and a big.
But she's horny. Like,
yes.
What?
She's conflicted. A lot of time in this first book is expended looking at her search for a cross. She's looking everywhere for a crucifix to hang.
Right. She mentions that.
A lot. She mentions that a lot. And then God appears, and he's talking to this little devil-y imp thing. So there's certainly religious elements. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn religious. Who knows? I guess you'll have to read the next few books.
No.
So the scene we're about to enact involves the horse character, who Daniel fears but secretly loves, needs to get his hooves reshod by the blacksmith of few words, and as he's getting them reshod, the horny nun comes by to see what's happening.
Horny nun.
Stop it.
I can't, you're tickling my feet.
Moving too much.
Say, what's the joke?
Just what I need.
Sister?
Yeah?
Hold him down.
My happiest dream come true at last.
Now hold on, Henry. That's not really necessary. Holy mackerel, woman, you weigh a ton.
I'm wearing my winter habit.
Is that the one with the horsehair underwear?
The very same.
That's repulsive.
Repulsive? You wear horsehair under your clothes every day.
Psh, it's natural on me. On anybody else, it's repulsive.
What you're calling repulsive, mister? I've got a spoon, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Henry, please, the sooner you get started, the sooner I can get this boulder off my back.
Ugh, finished.
You're finished? I didn't feel a thing.
Us boulders can be really distracting. Ask Sisyphus.
Off, off.
But we're still going steady, right?
Looks great, Henry. Thanks.
Ugh.
Can I have your old horseshoe nails?
What for? They're all bent.
I know. Perfect for hanging Jane's new cross with.
Keep them. Let me see the shoe.
Thanks.
Say, Henry, can you make the calkins on my new shoes a little bigger? You know, give me a little lift. That got a little confusing around the end there, didn't it? Sorry about that. That's just the way it is in the book. We can't really figure that scene out either. And that's why we decided to bring it to you. Anyway, moving on to Bumper Boy.
Right.
So the very first comic book that we ever reviewed on S-Fist was an earlier edition of Bumper Boy, and now we're reviewing the latest book, Bumper Boy and the Loud, Loud Mountain by Debbie Huey, a Bay Area artist. Hooray!
Oh, yeah.
Bay Area. So she has this new book out. It's about Bumper Boy, this little guy who's kind of clad in a onesie pajama sort of outfit.
It's and like a marshmallow space suit.
It's a marshmallow space. He's going into marshmallow space.
Yes, like his dog.
And his dog is also clad in a marshmallow onesie space suit. And they travel around the land talking to animals and things, doing cute things and playing with...
Cute.
Yeah, playing cutely.
Cute.
That's basically all you need to know. In this particular adventure, they pop through a borp hole. The borp holes are what they use to get around in this little universe. They're like portals. They're wormholes.
They're in trees?
They're in trees.
Yeah, they're in trees.
Yeah. They're wormholes in trees. And so they pop through and they meet a mountain who's sad and lonely because all the people who lived around the base of him, around the base of the mountain, have left.
This is a huge mountain.
It's a huge mountain.
Huge mountain.
Huge. It cannot be overstressed how huge this mountain is. And the problem is that he talks loud. He shouts. And he can't control the sound of his voice. And the people who lived at the base of him went deaf, which is a little grim, and moved away. So he's lonely and cries a lot, which is unbecoming. And so Bumper Boy and Bumper Pup decide they're going to be his friend for the afternoon. And there's more than meets the eye going on because there are these strange creatures living in the valley behind the mountain. And there's these strange trees. And somebody has been messing around with the other trees on the other mountains nearby. And so this tale of abduction and recovery and there's a rescue and it's all very exciting in a cute sort of way. This is totally family appropriate for, like, you know, kids age two.
On the back it says all ages tale.
All ages tale.
Basically, I didn't read this story. I don't know anything about it, really. I know exactly what Matt just talked about. And it's, like, really fucking cute. It's basically so simple you can't really complain. About as far as like I guess the artwork goes, I don't know. It seems like a lot of fun. It seems like very basic. There's not like a huge amount of text, which is always terrible in comic books. Because if it's a comic book, there should be a lot of pictures, not a lot of words.
Yeah.
This seems to be appropriate amount of words. Seems like a lot of fun. It's like some sort of like. I don't know, maybe, it sort of reminds me, I mean, this is absolutely, like I guess this really isn't parallel at all, but what's the name of that PSP game that's not worth paying for?
Loco Roco.
It's like, similar in that kind of, like, goofy, like, fun, happy, really simple type of style, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, would you call this bland? I don't think it's... I don't know.
No, I don't think it's bland at all. I think it's effective. I suppose.
Ooh, effective.
Like, effective, yeah. Shut up. they're still backgrounds. It's not just characters.
And they do stuff.
The characters are really simple. The drawings themselves are very simple.
It sounds like you're restraining yourself. You're like, you don't want to give it a thumbs up. What would you add?
What would I add?
Yeah.
I don't know. color would make it cooler, I guess. Clearly it's probably low budget. I mean, like, right? I mean, it costs a lot of money to produce
it does,
books of any sort, and full color, like, would cost a lot of money. I mean, it makes
it's a long book too. It's like 70 pages.
It's a thick book.
Oh,
there's not a lot of text. It's 128 pages, but I mean, look at this. This page has what, 1, 2.
Yeah, it's got like 7 words.
It's got 3 panels of text.
I read it in 15 minutes.
Okay.
But to this book's credit, after I read it, I was like, I like to read parts of that again. Because it's fun. It's not like a high impact thing like you'll remember and want to like call out to, you know, in a conversation, be like, "Oh, it's just like that Bumper Boy adventure where blah blah blah." I mean, it's not
okay, so why isn't the story memorable? Is that a problem? It sounds like it might be a problem.
Yeah, it's just it's tame, I guess.
Tame.
And that's great for family
stuff. Yeah. So as far as like my I stand in a very like I said, I didn't read it. I don't want to read. I don't like to read. That's a lie. But I don't want to read. I prefer to drink. The artwork, like, I like the artwork. I mean, I like the fucking artwork. I think it's cool. It reminds me of something that's done in Illustrator, although it's clearly not done in Illustrator. Like, vector graphics. It's drawn by hand. But it reminds me of something of, like, this, like, new design type of, like, graphic design. Very minimal, very, like...
It's hipster art.
Hipster art, sure. I could see this graffiti.
And you know, I just figured out what's missing, and it's ironic that it's not ironic. It's funny.
Ironic.
Yeah, it's not officially ironic, but, it is ironic.
Unofficially ironic.
It's unofficially ironic.
That doesn't make any sense.
What's missing is there's no irony. There's no sarcasm or cynicism or anything like that hipsters love, which is funny because it's really like
art. I think what would really do this is if they took the all ages tale off of the back cover and said it was 18 and up, and they threw in some cuss words. I think it'd be awesome. This kid is so cute. This dog is so cute. This mountain is so cute. Why not have them cuss? Why not have something shocking? I want to see something shocking and inappropriate and.
Like a horny nun? Should they get the horny nun from Castle Waiting?
I think they could make a horny nun work. I think they could make a horny nun work. I think the problem with Castle Waiting was that it was... This is not about Castle Waiting. But the problem was that they were trying to be too serious with themselves. Even, I guess, they were trying to be funny. It wasn't funny. Bumper Boy is really funny. It's supposed to be goofy, silly, fun times, happy. Yay. Mm-hmm. And so why not throw some scandal in it?
Something edgy.
Edgy. Perhaps.
All right, so let's do a dramatization of the Bumper Boy book, where in this scene, Bumper Boy and Bumper Pup have just arrived through a new borp hole they just discovered, and they've emerged in a kind of a plane surrounded by... Plane,
P-L-A-I-N-E.
Yeah, and there's some...
I-N-E, that's not how it's spelled.
P-L-A-I-N-E.
Yeah, just Line? Forget I said anything. So.
Plane, that's the old English spelling.
I'll go back to drinking, yeah.
Okay, they arrive on ye old plane with an E, and there's a mountain there. A mountain. Let's watch.
Shit. God!
Bumper Pup, let's see where we end up. Nino, look at those mountains, Bee Pup. We definitely haven't been here before.
Earth?
You're right, it's really quiet out here. Weird. I don't even hear any birds chirping. All I can hear is the wind blowing.
Hello? 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 Can you hear me? What? I can't hear you. Oh, I know. How about trying that Voli phone right there, hanging from the tree? Yep, that's it.
Could you please speak softer? You are very, very loud.
Oh my, I'm sorry, my friends. I'm afraid I've forgotten what it's like to talk to small beings like you.
It's, okay.
Yes, it's been quite some time since I've spoken to small folk like you. In fact, it has been quite some time since I've spoken to anyone.
Next up, we've got Polly and the Pirates by Ted Nafa, another Bay Area comic artist. We reviewed Polly and the Pirates a couple times in the past, actually. It's about, we love it, it's about this little girl, Polly, who goes to a little girl's finishing school where she learns how to be a proper lady. It's all set in, like, kind of a Final Fantasy-esque sort of world where everything's cobblestones and...
Final Fantasy?
Well, okay. No.
Pirates?
No.
Pirates.
There's no pirates in Final Fantasy?
None.
This okay. So anyway, it's set in this European sort of world. It's set in Europe the way Japan imagines Europe, where cobblestones and kind of strange machines and some people say it's Oakland. I think that's a more confusing way to explain it.
All right,
fine. So these giant ships, the ships in this book are pretty incredible. They're all built like castle fortresses or Swiss chalets. I mean, they're not just boats. They are huge, huge things. They're skyscraper ships. And they reminded me of the airships from Final Fantasy, which is why I said it was like Final Fantasy.
I was informed it looked like Wind Waker. I agree.
All right. Yeah, okay. So it looks like Wind Waker.
Wind Waker.
Okay.
I agree.
And so Polly is this quiet girl who's nothing ever interesting has happened to. She always obeys everyone. And she wakes up one day to discover that she's been kidnapped by pirates, and they want her to be their captain. And the reasons for this are long and complicated, but Polly is initially horrified by this turn of events and finds that somehow she's able to escape really easily. Like, she leaps around and outsmarts the pirates, and she's actually pretty good at out-pirating the pirates. So maybe she was meant to be a pirate all along. And the book is all about her progression through, you know, her growth from this little obedient girl to this heroic pirate queen.
And like a coming-of-age pirate queen?
Maybe it's a coming-of-age thing. I don't know that she becomes a woman yet, but she definitely comes into her own. She's no longer obedient and doing what people tell her to do. So in that sense, yeah, she does grow up a lot. She becomes very capable.
I can say I spend a lot of time not reading this. surprise, surprise. And I'd say from the beginning, just looking at the book, because that's what I do, she changes from the beginning to the end, I mean, just visually, which is really cool. I think there's obvious progression of story in that, as far as, like, visual elements go, which is really awesome to me. It shows me, if I was to pick this up at, comic book store, that's usually what I do. I flip through the pages really fast to see if there's any sort of change in anything, as far as, like, you know, atmosphere or whatever. Characters, and, I mean, she seems almost grown up, like, I mean, she's got these little pigtails at the beginning, and she's so prim and proper looking, and to the end, she's very sinister, almost. She's very...
Yeah, that's true.
Very, I guess, weathered, and ready to go. I don't know, that sounds really slutty, but that's not what I mean.
She's ready for action.
Ready.
She's capable. Whatever. Sluttier. Yeah, I know. Whatever the world throws at her, she's ready to take. I don't know. She's yeah. You know what I noticed as you were just flipping through this is that at the beginning of the book, she's lit from up the side, and at the end of the book, she's lit from below a lot.
Yes.
And there's
that's
this
a common trick.
There's there. A great scene in the middle where she's negotiating with a guy in a tavern where she is almost in complete darkness and she's all in shadow. And it's really beautiful. The artwork is really beautiful in this scene. It's really evocative. And I think this is like Polly's big scene, really, in the whole series when she's making this bargain for the pirate cap. It's the first time I really felt like Polly was a dangerous character who really could make a demand and back it up with force.
She does. She has a giant gun. gigantic gun. Yeah, it's pretty sexy. And,
we should also mention the supporting characters, who are also fantastic. There's Cutner Naff, who I'm very fond of, as a Irish brogue.
It's because he's naked.
Yes.
No,
he's always, yes.
He's wearing baggy pants.
Yes, he's wearing baggy pants and nothing else.
Nothing else, and he's got a sword, a dagger.
A dagger. And there's also Scrimshaw, the the loyal assistant to the captain, and there's the dreamy pirate prince who tries to seduce Polly.
Yes.
It's not really a sexual seduction because, as we should point out, Polly's like 11, 13. But the pirate prince is very dashing and sort of he's very, the whole thing's very anime style, but this pirate prince is he's an Orlando Bloom.
Yes. Except he doesn't have terrible acting skills.
Yes. He's an Orlando Bloom, only not boring.
Yes, there we go. What else? I don't know. What else?
There's her mother is actually she's a character in the book, although she never actually appears in person, but Polly's relationship with her mother changes a lot throughout the book. At first she's like, she just has faith that her mother is this really fantastic character, you know, dignified woman who is very proper and elegant. Then she finds out she's a pirate queen and she's like, I've been lied to all my life, I don't know how I feel about my mother. And it's kind of a, you know, she comes to reconcile her relationship with her dead / missing mother by the end of the book.
That's
so
terrific.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
You enjoyed it. I suppose I'm interested. I am more so interested in this. I think I'm actually more interested in this than the other two we've reviewed. There is more text to this one, but there also seems to be a lot more action. I don't like text. There's a lot more action in this than the either two that I see. I mean, that's noticeable. Maybe there's a lot more action in the other ones. I don't know.
There is.
No, there's not.
Swashbuckling action.
In this one?
Cannons.
In
Polly
and
the
Pirates.
Yeah, absolutely. Things blow up. There's sword fights.
That's
people
good.
Are hung from the mizzen mast, I think.
I think
Polly leaps from rooftop to rooftop at one point.
She stares at you.
She stares at me. She stares deep into my soul.
Yeah.
We do have to deduct a few points for the use of Photoshop lens flare on the cover of the book.
Oh yeah, I'll say something. Why? There's a small sparkling dot. On her upper thigh area, except she's wearing a skirt, it's clearly where her upper thigh is, and it's really distracting. It looks like a misprint, like it's like a hole in her skirt. Anyways, that's stupid, but I don't like that.
Yeah, whoever did the cover was in Photoshop, and they were like, all right, it's time to put in a lens flare. We're gonna have some
filter.
It's gonna look realistic now.
No, but the artwork is cool, though.
Otherwise. Yeah, it really is dynamite.
It's very nice. Yeah.
It's great. It's kind of, I don't know, would you call this an anime style? It's not quite.
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't consider it anime. I would say...
There's big eyes.
Yeah, I suppose, but you do that to younger people? I mean, younger kids, that's generally the idea, is that you give them big eyes, that's how you know they're younger.
What about this pirate prince, though? Like, look at him. If there's any one anime character in the book, look at this guy. I feel like he could be, yeah.
Well, he's simplified. I mean, that's comic book for you, you know? I mean, that's what happens. But, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I consider it... I suppose I can see the anime... there, but I don't think I would consider it anime. I think I really think of Wind Waker, James was pointing out, and Wind Waker, and I don't know. I mean, I think that's what mostly comes to mind. I mean, there's some incredible detail on like some of the stuff. It's insane. I mean, like those ships that the small ships that they show are just like incredibly detailed.
Yeah.
And I mean these houses and. What is that? A house? Is that a house?
It's a castle on a boat.
A castle that's... Fair enough.
That's crazy. So Ted Nafa, who wrote this, also did Courtney Crumrin and Allison Dare. He did a Jason and the Argonauts series. And I think he did Death Junior. Yeah, he did Death Junior and Gunwitch.
Death Junior.
And that's Gloom Cookie. So he's done a bunch of really awesome books with great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we should also point out this is published by Oni Press, who hits a home run every single time. I don't think there's one Oni Press book I've read that I have not enjoyed.
There's also a dashing drawing.
Oh yes, there's
the
an
writer.
Intense and smoldering sketch of Ted Naffa in the back.
Whatever his name is, he's a good guy.
Yes, we like him. We don't know him, but we stand by him.
This is my favorite one that we have seen today.
My favorite comic book of the day.
Yes.
So let's set up the scene. We're about to dramatize. Polly has lived a life of quiet, docile obedience, and she goes to sleep one ordinary night, and she wakes up, and suddenly she's surrounded by pirates on a ship out at sea.
Titania ain't been to sea in years. The old tart could do with a bit of spit and polish.
Now see here, my good man. I'm relieved that you've no immediate plans to do anything beastly with me, but I must remind you that you're in the presence of a lady. I insist that you refrain from such coarse speech.
Yo, bugger. Sorry about that.
Been on board 5 minutes and already teaching you manners, eh, Scrimshaw?
You bloody well remember who you're talking to, Cutner Nath. I'm your bleeding quartermaster.
That were a long time ago, mate. Don't mean nothing now. We're voting again tonight. And if you think that shit of a girl's gonna be elected captain, you're dafter than I thought.
I'm afraid I was unable to penetrate that gentleman's diction.
His what?
His words, I suspect. He was speaking English, but I couldn't swear to it.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a salty one, that Cutner Nuff.
You're one to talk.
You see, we've been scattered these 13 years. Reckon we'd be scattered but for the cock-up.
I beg your pardon.
The cock-up.
I heard you the first time, sir.
Jolly good. Anyways, thing is, we lost the map.
Map? What map?
Sodnell. The map to the Pirate Queen's treasure, see? The map!
Oh, wow.
You better believe it, Missy. Greatest treasure ever collected. Spanish doubloons, Italian treasures, crown jewels, you names it.
Anastasia said that the Pirate Queen amassed more gold than the Pirate King's entire fleet.
You bet your bustle she did. I was right there beside her. The Pirate King is still out there somewhere, and you can lay to it that he'll stick to naught to get a hold of that map.
I still don't understand where I come into all of this.
Well, it's just that, like I said, we's going on a count again, and we ain't had a cap'n since old Meg, and I ain't exactly cap'n material, and a ship needs a cap'n, so we thought the Pirate Queen's daughter would be just the ticket.
Pirate Queen's daughter?
Aye.
I've just realized you're all quite mad, aren't you?
Yeah. Bugger it! Man or girl overboard!
Looks like your cap'n's resigned.
Sod it all to bloody hell.
I really think I might be dying.
Well, we'd better go. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read more, you can read my printed review at sfist.com. That's sfist.com. No E on the end. And you can go to Why would there be an E at the end? You can go to isotopecomics.com. That's ISTOPIComics.com and read about comics. And,
shit! I'm gonna throw up, fuck!
I knew he was gonna hurt himself.
Watch who you're calling repulsive, mister. I've got spoon and I'm not afraid to use it.
Go again.